Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Don't stop living just to do your banking. With Trustmark, you have the freedom to bank whenever and wherever you want. Don't stop about Trustmark. People you trust, advice that works. Member FDIC.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night. Glad that you're with me on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. A few things to talk about tonight before we get to your comments, of course. First of all, I'm sure you've probably seen this video or heard this audio already, but if you haven't, I want to play it for you because it fascinates me. Arkansas's athletic director was speaking to the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and he had some things, good things, to say about Ole Miss's NIL collective. And the comparison that he made shows you just how far behind some programs that you think shouldn't be are in the NIL game and why Ole Miss has the roster that they currently have. So we'll talk about that. Lane Kiffin gave an interesting answer today about the return of Key Lawrence, and it kind of inspired me to talk about the secondary a little bit. Wouldn't be surprised if you might see some quote-unquote changes in the defensive secondary. We'll talk about that. And a conversation about Henry Parrish in the season that he's having so far for Ole Miss and maybe being totally overlooked, the start of the season that he's having. And of course, we will get to your comments. I will invite you, please, to subscribe to the podcast. If you have not already, just search Rebel Report wherever you get them and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And if you're watching, don't forget to subscribe, like the video, and leave a comment as well. I read the comments. So if you're watching on my YouTube channel or Super Talk's YouTube channel, please leave a like and comment and all that good stuff and subscribe because I will see them. This edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. You know, sometimes, guys, in life, injuries happen. It is an unavoidable thing. It's an unfortunate thing. We hope it never happens to you. But if that day comes, if you've been personally injured or you have a small business that you need legal advice for whatever reason, or maybe even a contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, he's in Saltillo, Mississippi, has got you covered. The best legal advice. And it's not just, you know, it's not just another law firm. He will build a relationship with you. You won't just be, you know, another number, another name. They're just churning in and out. At the Gregory Law Firm, he will treat you like a person because you are. And when you're involved in something as intimate as an injury or like a small business situation, call somebody that will actually take care of you on a personal level. That's DJ Gregory. Again, the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi. Here's the phone number. Save it. You might not need them today, but there's a chance down the road that you will, and you don't want to be left without knowing where to go. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm, bringing you the Rebel Report live. Okay, so here we go. This is Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director at Arkansas, and he's speaking to the Little Rock Touchdown Club. And I actually accidentally cut out the first part of this audio in which he says, you know, everybody loves that Ole Miss is in the top five. No, we don't, which is a kind of funny interlude. But here is what he said about Ole Miss and comparing it to his school.
Right? No, we hate it. We hate it. Ole Miss has about 5,000 members in their football collective. 5,000. We have about 1,000 in our football collective right now. They have 5,000 members. We have 1,000. If we're going to catch up, like I'm going to make it so easy for you. If we could get 10,000 households across the state of Arkansas to give $100 a month, 10,000 households to give $100 a month all year long, we would be in the NIL game from a football perspective. It's that simple. But we can't say the Tysons, the Waltons, the Stevens, the Hunts, hey, they'll take care of it, because they're not. They're not. They are so incredibly generous, and they have done so much for our program. But if we're really going to get a handle on this NIL and remain competitive, we need to rally people across this state, and we really got to take some pride in the Razorbacks.
So, pretty interesting stuff there, right? If you haven't seen that or heard that, I'm glad that I played that for you for the first time. Two fronts. On one hand, getting 10,000 monthly subscribers to an NIL collective is probably an extremely hard thing to do. I admire the goal and the ingenuity, but that's a lot. I mean, that is very lofty. That is increasing their collective participation by 10 times. Two, I think that there's a bit of an undersell with the Ole Miss contributors. I could be wrong, but I think it might even be more than 5,000. But the point is, you're talking about Arkansas. And this is what we have been talking about so much. And for some reason, people nationally haven't quite caught up to this yet. Now, some people have. You've actually seen kind of a narrative shift about the Ole Miss job centered around this stuff with Florida, right? You've had a lot of comments. You guys asked me about what Josh Pate said, but there is far fewer Josh Pate opinions about that in Feinbaum than there are, like, you're talking about what Reese Davis said. I know Ole Miss fans have been sharing that clip around, but it's not just him. It's basically everybody else. Even Chris Doering, who is a Florida guy, you're seeing that narrative kind of shift already before the damn job even comes open, that, you know, actually Kiffin's got it in a more comfortable situation. Florida, there's chaos. There's university issues. They have an interim president, because the previous one was doing all kinds of corrupt things. You've got an AD on a hot seat. You've got an NIL situation in which they're being sued, and there's just a lot of chaos. And people are, it seems like nationally, people are actually kind of starting to pay attention to what the most important thing is. And it's not how big your endowment is or how much you had in donations in 2005. It's organization. Arkansas should have more money than Ole Miss. They should, but they don't. Why? They're clearly not organized in the same way that Ole Miss is. And so hearing Hunter Yurecek say that out loud, at least in my opinion, should give you confirmation of what people have been saying about you in the NIL space for really a long time. And, you know, you can take my word for it, or other people that covers the team words for it. And I'm sure you guys already knew that you were in really good shape in the NIL space. It's kind of easy to think that when you sign the number one transfer portal class in football, you sign a top 20 portal class in basketball. So clearly there's money there. But hearing that from a rival athletic director, where he lays out that you are at about five times more fan base participation in NIL, it validates everything you already knew. But hearing it so open and transparent, I mean, he's jealous is what he is. The athletic director at Arkansas is jealous about how organized, how collected Ole Miss is, how organized that it's not just Walker, who's done a phenomenal job at the collective, but it's all of you. He can't do it without you guys being bought in, right? I found that to be just a fascinating quote from Hunter Yurecek, and it just confirms everything you've already known about where you sit in the NIL space. You are the envy of your rivals, and they are willing to admit that publicly. What a world that it is today. And look, I still don't think that fans should fund this. I think the concept of NIL and how it is garbage. The schools should be paying the players. They're the ones that are negotiating the billion-dollar television deals. There should have been collective bargaining. There still should be collective bargaining. I don't think that average Joe fan should have to do this, but that's what they have to do right now. And the volume of you that do this is why your program is the public envy of your rival. That's why your program is being compared to Florida, and people like Reese Davis look at it and think, no, I don't think that Florida's better right now. It's pretty remarkable how well Ole Miss has done in this space. I cannot believe that you have this clip out there, considering the implications behind it from the Arkansas perspective. So that's number one. Number two, Lane Kiffin was asked in his press conference today about Key Lawrence, the Oklahoma transfer. You know, Kiffin straight up said, like, he's missed a lot of time. You know, you got to work your way back. If you want to play, you've got to play over people. If you miss a lot of practice time and miss games, you're not just going to get thrown right in there in a very crowded room and just be given, 60 snaps a game. But that made me think about Ole Miss's secondary, especially moving forward. And it starts this weekend. We talked about it after the Wake Forest game. They were not perfect. Now, the numbers, I think, look better than the actual play on the field looked. That they have question marks in the secondary. Frankly, I think that they could do a better job at safety and helping than they have so far. I think that you can get more out of Trey Washington, and he's been good. I think that you can get more out of him. I think that you can get more out of Saunders, and you've got, Yam Banks and others that have played. I think you can get more out of the safety position. But after watching the Wake Forest game, I can't help but wonder if you're going to see more of Turnage. That would be somebody that I think is going to get a good look, because there was – I don't like calling out individual players unless it's warranted, warranted individually. The Wake Forest picked on a particular Ole Miss defensive back. And they were justified in doing so. Part of me wonders if you're going to see a bit of a shakeup in terms of who's getting the majority snaps at defensive back this week for Ole Miss, or if you're going to see some changes at the safety rotation, or what kind of adjustments Pete's going to make to help alleviate what is now seemingly an issue at corner. I like Amos, but after him, there's been a little bit to be desired. So what will that look like? I don't know. We'll have to see. I do think this Georgia Southern team, they can score. They are competent and capable on offense. And this would be a good weekend to figure out how, one, what personnel you're going to use moving forward, because I can't think you can just run it back with what they had last week. I think you're going to get picked on in certain spots. So who is it? And if they make any adjustments on the back end to allow the safeties to better help the defensive backs, because just doing nothing is going to lead to some issues, I think. But you have some talent and experience there to move some pieces around and see what you have. But I do think that Turnage has shown you that I think he's earned the opportunity to get more snaps, especially. And finally, I'm stealing a take from somebody. Cade Smith is his name. He's on Twitter if you want to follow him. He's a big Ole Miss fan, has good tweets. But I'm stealing this take from him because I think he's absolutely spot on. There's been a lot of angst about Ole Miss's running game. Where's Bentley? All this, where is Bentley? Why isn't he playing? I'm concerned about Ole Miss's running game. I'm really concerned, and that they've run the football quite well, but the competition level does not give you a whole lot of great looks, right? But if Ulysses Bentley had Henry Parrish's exact stat line this season, if he had the 44 carries for 340 yards and 6 touchdowns, averaging 8 yards per carry, if that was Bentley, would anybody be questioning the running game to this point? Exact same results, exact same plays, switch the names. Do you have anybody questioning the running game? If Henry Parrish is the one getting limited carries and Bentley's the one going off every week, would people be questioning the running game? And I think that answer is no. Do we still need to see it against better competition? Absolutely. Is there still a fear if they'll be able to get that tough yard? Are they using the Pegues big boy package too much? Those are fair questions, but I do think that was a really good observation on his part. And so I'm stealing it and bringing it here to you guys. I think that's spot on. If Ulysses Bentley had Henry Parrish's stats, nobody would be questioning Ole Miss's running game. It's the personnel that's leading to a lot of the questions, not the production. Henry Parrish has looked really, really good. Really good. vision, cuts, high-end speed, pass blocking. Maybe Paris is just a veteran back that's played a ton of football and has developed under Kevin Smith. Maybe that's going on here. I expect to see more of Bentley at some point. I think Kiffin was he was asked about it yesterday and gave an answer that I'm not calling him a liar. I kind of don't believe it. But I think that what Parrish has done should not be overlooked. And I think it's in part being overlooked. So anyway, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems. I'm struggling tonight, guys. Sorry. Has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority with their local loan servicing and decision-making. So if you need a loan or you have a loan through them and you need it serviced, it's somebody that you sit down with face-to-face because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. To the comments we go. By the way, I have a winner of the hats, and I'm going to tell you who that is right now. I should have them so I can show you what he's going to get, but it was none of you guys. It was an emailer, and it was, if I can find it, it was David. David Brunt is the winner of the hat from College Corner. So, David, appreciate you, my friend, and thank you for listening and being a part and sending me an email with your score prediction. You have won a hat from College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is where you go for all of your Ole Miss apparel needs. So check that out, CollegeCornerStore.com. They have got David a brand-new hat, so congrats to him. Anyway, to the comments we go, not a particularly good look for Arkansas, especially with football. I saw a ton of fan pushback against what Juracek said. You know they're 27-45 in football since he became AD. You know, it's funny. What are the fans pushing back on? What is there to push back on? If they only have 1,000 members in their NIL collective, it's on them. It is. And yes, again, the system is all jacked up, but there is a way to improve your opportunity to get better football players, and you're not doing it. So maybe Arkansas could do a better job of rallying the troops or whatever, but if he was telling the truth and that's all that they have contributing to their efforts, is it his fault? With the decision made by Tennessee to up ticket prices, does this become the norm? And if so, does it potentially keep fans from attending games like Otani deferred money does to LA fans? It certainly could. It certainly could if you stop winning. I mean, if you stop winning, but if you've got a championship caliber team, people are willing to pay that. I mean, for all of what Lane said about fans leaving games early, The Furman in Middle Tennessee kickoff crowds were phenomenal. They were outstanding. Those are garbage games with gigantic point spreads that are over the second foot meets ball for the first time in the game. And those crowds were gigantic. So people will support a winner no matter what. You can't do that after a bad season, though. I still think it's insane that they're pawning off the cost of all this to the fans, but until they collectively bargain, that's all they can do. Good vibes from Alabama. Glad to see you, James. Welcome in, my friend. Sounded like he was attacking their fan base by talking about how the Hunts, Bentons, and Tysons can't do everything. He's just telling the truth, I think. Mike, appreciate the super chat, my friend. Thank you. Thank you very much. Completely unnecessary, but appreciated. You say, I hate being a downer. You really do. But why can't you shake this when the wheels fall off feeling for this season? Because you're scarred from years past. But the teams that did that to you in years past were coached by different people and had different players on the field. I am so anti-history when it comes to stuff like this. I really just could not possibly think that because Ole Miss in 2009 went to South Carolina and played like crap, that has any bearing whatsoever on what will happen this time Ole Miss goes to South Carolina. History to me is utterly meaningless. Who are you right now today? And what Ole Miss has been under Lane Kiffin is remarkably consistent. With the exception of two games in 2022, when the Auburn stuff was at a fever pitch, they've taken care of business. They haven't won or haven't lost a head scratcher. They beat who they're supposed to beat. That you get consistent effort from them when they take the field. It's been Kiffin's greatest strength in 4 years plus three games is that you kind of know what you're getting when they take the field every Saturday. You really got some USM fans butt hurt yesterday. Enjoyed it all on Twitter. And you know how that started, Pat? It was a fake quote. That's how that started. Yep, the Twitter account that started that makes up stuff or takes things that we say and like adds, which is what he did this time. He took something that I said and added to it to make me look worse, to get all those people mad. And they said absolutely vulgar things to me. And, you know, it's part of the business, but it's all started by this person that makes up stuff. And people online are too dumb to not realize that that's what's happening. All I said on the show was, I really love the Saints black and gold, that old gold style, the Saints, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, Purdue. I like that black and gold color scheme. But because I said I like black and gold and I didn't mention Southern Miss, I hate Southern Miss and they were slighted and, you know, it turned into that shitstorm. And, you know, he added that I mentioned Appalachian State, which I didn't, because theirs is yellow. It's not the Saints gold. It's more of a yellow gold. Oak Grove High School, which I did, again, didn't mention. And there was no slight at Southern Miss. And I was asked later in the show, hey, what about Southern Miss? And I said, hey, I like their colors too, but I'm talking about more of the old gold. If an innocuous comment like that makes you act the way those people did, you know, it's pathetic is what that is. Very small handful of people though, that reacted in such a way, but that's how it started. A made up thing. So Tyson basically foot most of the bill for Calipari. Well, let's see about that return on investment. Looks like Parrish and Matt Jones have become the go-to backs. I would just be very surprised if that's how it's going to be for every game all season. But Ole Miss's run pass distribution is 121 to 110. Let Brandon know. Lane Kiffin's teams are going to run the football. They always will. 10,000 households in Arkansas to give $100 a month in this economy. Interesting theory. Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch. That is a very lofty goal. You thought Juracek might be out the door after Pittman gets fired, but their fan base is so enamored with Cal is going to let him hire three football coaches. Will you quit telling state fans to give money to their NIL on the radio, Borky? We want them to be poor and suck. That's another thing. Mississippi State message board was upset with me yesterday and upset with Haydad for not pushing back against me, because even though I did not come anywhere close to saying that their collective sucked, wasn't said at all in any way, shape, or form, I did say that the way for them to get out of this is more money. And for some reason, they took that as, I think that their collective sucks, which is not what I said. But it's the truth that more money is the way out of a bad roster. More money is the way to recover a program. And that's not exclusive to Mississippi State. Arkansas is going to need more money. Florida is going to need more money. Hell, Ole Miss is going to need more money after this year. The price of poker is going up. And for some reason, it's offensive. Like, how dare I say that they need to come together and unify as a fan base in totality and realize that as bad as the system sucks, the only way out of the current state of their football roster is more money. And I mean, I don't know how that can be taken any other way. And I don't know why that they want Haydad to argue against that. It makes no sense to me because it's like objectively correct. There's no counter argument to, if you want to improve your football roster, you need more money to do it. You do. Don't understand that either, but you know, it's easier to, you know, to get kind of irrationally frustrated when the football team's not good. You listen to that College Game Day clip where Reese Davis said that, and Ryan McGee and Pete Thamel both agreed with him on the podcast. Exactly. That's kind of what I'm talking about, is that there's far more Reese Davis, Ryan McGee, and Pete Thamels out there talking about this than there are what Josh Pate said. Arkansas fans are big jealous. They believe Ole Miss is an inferior program to them. Meanwhile, Arkansas is only above Vandy since 2012. Yeah, I mean, the last decade plus has been, should be humbling, but I guess it's not. Winning games makes people more likely to donate to NIL. Absolutely, but that's what's so difficult about this particular era, is when you're losing, the only way out of losing is more money, but it's harder to get more money when people are not inspired to give because you're losing. It is a very difficult place to be for an Arkansas. It's a very hard place for them to be. Who wants to give money to their football program right now? Nobody. But how are you going to save the football program? More money. It's tough. It is a very tough spot to be in. Ole Miss had the perfect storm when the NIL thing happened. You had an attractive football coach. You have an athletic director who gets it. You have a chancellor who gets it. And you have a handful of people that understood immediately what it would take. And they organized right away. And they handed it over to somebody that worked in marketing for a gigantic apparel brand. They being Ole Miss, did everything right from the jump in the NIL space. And the overwhelming majority of places did not do everything right from the jump. If players get a portion of TV deals, and shouldn't past players get a portion of that money too? That is the settlement that is going to end up getting thrown out, because judges don't like when you try to restrict people's pay without them having a say in it. But yes, that is part of the settlement. It is backdated. You guys are going to take a selfie and autograph it and send it to me. I will be at the game on Saturday. I will be there. I am taking my son to his first, I took him to a high school football game last year, but his first football game for all intents and purposes. This is game number one for my little man. And he is fired up, mostly because I told him that there are fireworks and like the lights are cool and there's bouncy houses. Like he's kind of learning football, but it's more about like the snacks and the bouncy houses and the lights and the fireworks, but still. So I will be there on Saturday. So there won't be like the post game that we've done the last couple of weeks. I will give you some content, possibly even Sunday morning, more likely Sunday morning. But yeah, I'm very excited. I think it's going to be one of those things that, you know, I'll be able to, you know, talk with him about forever, because I remember my first big time college football game with my dad. And so I'm, you know, getting to do that with him, and I can't wait. Really looking forward to being there. So Henry Parrish is on fire, and yeah, it seems closer to you that he's the most complete running back on the roster. The lack of pass blocking is your best guess to why Bentley is not getting snaps. You think he'd be in front of Matt Jones? No offense to the guy, but we know what Bentley can do. I guess Rashad Amos was a complete portal bust. Very curious about that one, for sure. I do think you're going to see more Bentley moving forward. But what has Parrish done to get carries taken away from him? Why should he get carries taken away from him at this point? What has he done to earn that demotion? Nothing. No, I don't think that they're like saving Bentley as like a surprise for later. I think there's more to it than that. Wake, $750K. We'll get a few players from next year's team. Well, so that's going to the school, but that'll be invested, I assume, right back into football. So either way. To be fair, Jam Griffin is a good running back, and he couldn't get on the field at Ole Miss. Same with Priscano. Yeah, as I told you guys back then, that they liked Priscano, but they didn't expect him to play much this year. That there were just other guys ahead of him. But Jam Griffin wasn't as good as Quinshon and Bentley last year. That's why he didn't play. I think Bentley's as good as what Matt Jones has given them when he's locked in. So we'll see. Yes, Georgia Southern can score, looking for the defense to knock out some things before conference play, but they give up 500 yards a game. Yeah, this is going to be another like 60-point game for the Ole Miss offense. Are they really going to go with the Big East package on every short yardage? They need to pick that stuff up with a running back. Yeah, that's one area because, you know, it's effective, but I really don't think you want your veteran defensive tackle taking hits like that very often. Not worried about the running game, worried about the secondary. That is chief concern right there. Chief concern. Ole Miss is doing their job with this preseason, nationally number one in total scoring offense, number one in rushing and scoring defense. Unbelievable, isn't it? And you know what's so funny about that is people are doing the well, they're not playing anybody. They don't play anybody. There are a lot of teams that have been in the SEC that have not done what Ole Miss has done through three games, that played three games against FCS, Conference USA, ACC. What'd you miss? Scott, everything. Refresh. Slide it back to the beginning. But no, I appreciate you being here. Parrish looks to me more explosive than Judkins and Bentley were last year. His vision and cuts are really good. He definitely has more high-end speed than Judkins. That is a weakness in Judkins' game, frankly. It's his breakaway speed. The FPI is now predicting Ole Miss to be 12-0 at regular season's end. I saw that. I don't really like the FPI, frankly, but I mean, I think they'll be, if they continue on this path, now if they slip up and lose to South Carolina, then this, you know, forget everything I'm about to say. But I think that at this pace, they will be a favorite in every game with the exception of a slight underdog in Baton Rouge. If Bentley had Matt Jones' stats, nobody would have a problem. Matt Jones has another year of eligibility. Bentley doesn't. Have a feeling we'll see more of Bentley when SEC play starts. Congratulations, Memphis Rebel. That's really cool, man. That's awesome. In the most weary of any of these four games with the spread, does Lane really win by 40-plus against his friend Clay Helton? Their defense is really bad, though. Yeah, that was I wish I would play it for you because that was not coach speak. I think that – and Clay Helton had very similar things to say about Lane. There is a lot of respect in this one. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right, Edward. I would not be surprised if Ole Miss gets out to a fast lead and builds a big lead and then dials it way the hell back and just kind of runs the football and bleeds some clock. And because of that respect there, you know, you still have to play and They're still trying to get numbers and play a lot of guys and do their thing. And they've got some stuff to correct on both sides of the ball. But I think you're right in that it would not shock me at all if Ole Miss built a sizable lead and then just kind of really shut it down and really slowed down. Need to add 20,000 seats to the VOD? I disagree. I think that the amount of people is perfect. 20,000 additional seats would sit empty often. Fan base isn't big enough for that. No, I think it's perfect. The number is perfect. The design and the lack of foresight and all the projects over the years is the problem. People will support a winner no matter what. Wish I had that advice during my first marriage. 'Do you put much stock on the Kiffin created the blueprint to succeed at Ole Miss in this era take? You do. He's definitely proving to others that you can win at Ole Miss for sure. What do we think about people saying Ole Miss has played no one while Tennessee is getting crowned for beating three even more awful teams? Yeah, if you put Furman against Chattanooga and Middle Tennessee against Kent State and Wake Forest against NC State, what would the record be? Tennessee's schedule is equally as easy as Ole Miss's, but, you know, that's how people are sometimes. NC State is awful. I agree. I would take Wake Forest over NC State. They should have lost to Western Carolina and beat Louisiana Tech by 10. And I agree with you, Pat. They had a number. NC State had a number next to their game. They name really struggling talking tonight, fellas. They had a number next to their name that they didn't deserve. But I do think Tennessee's great. I do. I think they're really, really, really good. I think they're going to beat Oklahoma pretty soundly this weekend. When do we think Napier's actually getting fired? Let's say he beat State and got to the bye. They don't want to fire him now. They don't. On top of there being unrest and chaos, firing in the middle of September is reckless and stupid, and it's an indicator of toxicity. Apparently, Pete Thamel today said that like the actual decision makers at Florida are not wanting to rush into a decision, in part because if you fire him now, that just leaves open season on the Florida roster for tampering. And now, look, tampering's already happening all over the place. But those players like Billy Napier. Well, listen to their interviews. They like playing for him. And if you get rid of him, there's nothing in the way at all between other school and your roster. You don't want that. You want to try to keep everything intact for as long as humanly possible. Yes, of course he's getting fired. Of course it's going to happen. But you don't want to rush into that. You want to do it in the middle of September. That makes your job look worse. And it allows everybody to come poach whoever the hell they want from your roster without any resistance whatsoever. It's still already happening, but it will magnify that or elevate that even more. Florida State is a favorite over Cal. Free money taking the woke Bears. Yeah, Cal Twitter's been hilarious. Borky just pissing off all the fan bases. Apparently so. Apparently so. Instead of more cowbells, more money. I can't believe there's something wrong with that. Don't know how State is going to effectively build NIL going 2-10. It's so hard. Figure out a way not to go 2-10. The rest of this season for Lebby, they do have to look differently. Or else it's just going to be so hard to overcome. But it has to look different than it did on Saturday. That cannot be the rest of it. I don't know what you do if that's what it looks like all season. Because it's not just defense that's failing them. Offensively, they stink too at the moment. It's everything. Yes, we talked about Brandon Burkhalter last time. Yes, he flew home with the team. So Last you saw, Florida was a 6-point favorite. Who's brave enough to take that bet? Not me. They're two bad football teams. You picked Florida to win against Miami and A&M. For some reason, I thought that they were going to beat Miami. I was trying to talk myself into them playing with Texas A&M and beating Texas A&M. I never actually pulled the trigger on it, and I'm glad I didn't. That is the plan. I want Tim to see all of it. So we're going to leave here at like noon. So get in town and get parked and all that by about 3 o'clock. So we'll be able to see, hopefully, like the Walk of Champions and the band in the Grove and do all that stuff. I want him to just kind of see all of as much of the stuff as possible. Like, I'm not just going to take him to a friend's Grove tent and just, you know, hang out there all day, because I think he'll get bored quickly. I need this kid to be locked in, or at least entertained, for as long as possible to make the 6 hours of driving worth it, on top of what it's going to take to get from the car to the stadium. No parking pass or anything. We're going to have to do the lots. It's going to be tough. So I need to keep him locked in for as long as possible. Wait, Pat, you're one of Juice's handlers? That's really cool. That's really cool. I didn't know that. I think we're on like row 43. So we're kind of way up there, but no one is ever saving anything. That's always an excuse for not being good enough. Playing uninspired / vanilla is different. I agree with that. Think we'll see Logan Diggs sooner rather than later. I have not heard anything one way or another on that. I've always expected to not see him until the end of the year if we do it all. But I have no reason to think that that's going to happen. I haven't heard anything one way or the other. But it was it hadn't been a year since an ACL tear. Ole Miss is number one in passing offense, too. Yeah, 413 yards per game. It's amazing. I appreciate you, Ethan. Thanks for the kind words, man. Thank you very much. It's fun. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't. Piggy's running like that looks good, but you have memories of Rob taking a concussion against Memphis. Yeah, it feels like, I mean, it's effective, but I do wonder if that's the best use of Piggies. But it's effective. I mean, it works. It's just, does he need to be taking those hits? Don't understand all the Matt Jones hate. He's a good back, but he was number three last year ahead of Riscano. He's also a guy that came in as a walk-on. He's a great story. He's a great story. Jones is a good carry the load back. The biggest thing Q brought was the same physicality on rep 1 versus 30, and Paris just isn't built like that. Not many are, though. No, he's not. He and Judkins are different. You could easily see a 45-13 win where Georgia Southern is first to score a touchdown in covers. I could see that score for sure. And we were pretty close on last week's too. I can see that. Have to admit, it's fun seeing Pegues running the ball. It is fun because he's so athletic and he loves, you can tell he loves doing it. But do you think Ole Miss could get to 70K in attendance? I'm sure they could. Absolutely, they could. It's just, it's expensive. And every resource should be put into NIL and support staff for football. The stadium it's just not important It's not important. They use it 7 times a year. That's all they – forget Morgan Wallen. The football team uses it 7 times a year. That's all they use it for. People that pretend like stadium size impacts recruiting decisions, that's just goofy. Well, Florida Stadium's bigger. It doesn't. Well, you know, I was going to go to Missouri because I loved Coach Drinkwitz, and they're going to pay me more, and they're winning football games. But you know what? I'm going to go to Florida because there's 15,000 more people that go to Florida games than Missouri games. Dude, nobody says that. That's not how it works, especially now. Funny thing is, you bet Napier goes to a G5 and immediately wins again. If I were him, I'd take a year off. I'd be an analyst on Kiffin's staff and just kind of hang out with my $26 million before I considered getting back into coaching. I've said before, I'll say it again, I think Billy Napier is more likely to be an analyst in Oxford on Lane Kiffin's staff than Lane Kiffin is to be assembling a staff at Florida. Colin, I would ignore it. Just ignore it. There's no reason to think about it right now. It's a job that's not open. It doesn't matter at the moment. People like Josh Pate can say what they want, and Feinbaum can say it. Just it doesn't matter. What Florida fans say online doesn't matter. I would block it all completely out. It is just so unimportant right now. Ole Miss needs to upgrade existing seats. Chairbacks stadium-wide, aside from the student section, would look good. That same state team that played Toledo will get blown out versus Florida? Oh, no doubt. Got blown out versus Toledo. I agree with this. You know, they've done a good job with the in-stadium experience, and it masks a lot of just like the technical issues with the stadium itself. What is Bentley's status? He's available. He's just not playing. Should be a good fireworks show at the end of the third quarter. I'm just hoping we get to the third quarter. I'm going to try my best. The game kicks off an hour before typical bedtime, so it's going to be a tough late night. But am I looking forward to the Pell season? No doubt, especially now that we can watch them for free here in Mississippi. What a cool thing that's going to be. Yeah, I'm excited. I still think that they need to find a way to trade Ingram for a real center. I guess it's too late now, though, right? I mean, I guess they could still do it. I don't know what they're waiting for if – if not, I'm kind of confused at roster construction, but team should be good. They should be, but they lack size. Something you thought about for next year is they knew to retire Patrick Willis's number and do an Eli Manning day for him. That was so well done in 2021, maybe for the Florida or Arkansas game. So I think they should abandon retiring numbers and do a Ring of Honor so you could add more players. Like, you know, you get to a point where when you've got somebody like Willis who deserves that kind of permanent recognition, well, I think like Deuce McAllister does. So are you going to retire 22 as well? Like, you know, how many jerseys are you going to have to retire here that make them unusable? So a Ring of Honor is more practical because you can give appropriate recognition to more people that deserve it, as opposed to just retiring the Mannings and Patrick Willis, because there's a lot of people that played at Ole Miss that deserve permanent in-stadium honor, you know? The Thunderbirds are in Columbus this weekend. Will we see a flyover for military appreciation? They're doing an air show, a huge air show in Columbus. Cheapest Georgia tickets, like $450. Yeah, look at the fees on that one. That'll be fun. give him a Red Bull and he'll make it to the third quarter. I'm going to try everything. Lots of candy. Just keep adding sugar rushes in there. No, that's a bad idea. I'm not going to do that. But how has Tua yet to retire? Because that's not a decision that you make quickly. I think he's meeting with a neurologist this week. I think Schefter reported that. So, yeah, it's you can't make a decision like that hastily. It's, you know, it's going to take time. Good luck keeping him interested. Had your four-year-old at the Middle Tennessee game and it was rough. Oh, I imagine. Gosh, and those 3.5-minute TV timeouts and, oh, goodness. I know what I'm getting into at least, though. I know exactly what I'm getting into here. Ring of Honor would be a good idea. We've seen multiple twos now that could live up to a retirement. Exactly. Another 10 who played quarterback, who you think is the most talented in Ole Miss history. You know, what's funny, though, is I think his off the field stuff, this is just me. You guys, you know, you could disagree if you'd like. I don't think that I would permanently honor, like in a Ring of Honor, Chad Kelly. I don't think I would. He was very, very good, elite, frankly. But that there's more to that than just really good on the field. But anyway. All right, guys. You are the best, as always. Thank you for being a part, as you always are. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back Thursday. And get your score predictions ready. We'll do that again Thursday. Who did I say won? I had his name. I said it earlier. I should have kept it up. Sorry. David Brunt was the winner this time, so get your score predictions ready. Save them, though. Don't send them to me until Thursday so I can consolidate, and we'll give away some more hats. So thank you, guys. I'll see you on Thursday night, and enjoy your week until then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.